Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
At 6'3" and a half, Muhammad Ali, the heavyweight champion of the world. At 7 feet, 1 inch, Wilt the Still Chamberlain. And what you have just seen was the decisive edge and reach that Wilt would have if these two men do in reality fight. Gentlemen, may I join you for just a minute? I'd like to bring your trainer, Angelo Dundee, in here with your handler, Drew Bodini. Fellas, would you come on in? I'd like you...
The reach don't mean nothing if you can't find nothing
here. I should like Angie to measure it, Muhammad.
Natural reach is longer.
But let the viewers see for themselves what the reach would be.
Back
to back, gentlemen.
Just get the pin.
Or you want to measure Wilt first.
All right, go ahead. Sign the contract. Just get the contract.
He got the pen out.
I got the pen.
I want basketball players.
Got the pen.
Football players and co-sales.
Right. Yeah. What is the reach, Angie?
He's the agitator. If he wants to agitate you into a fight, I'll get you.
7 feet.
That's right. 91, 92 inches.
All right, now measure the champ, will you?
And then measure you.
Would you just back off and let them come into camera?
You're the one getting this man in trouble.
May we have your reach, please, champ?
Reach don't mean nothing. Terrell had a reach, too. Terrell had a bad jab when the fight started. You couldn't find it.
Hurry. Wait a minute, Angie.
This has been living to me, a world champion and a basketball player.
He's 78 inches and a half. 79.
And so the edge is about a foot.
Reach don't mean
about a foot. Gentlemen, thank you very much. Gentlemen, would you join me here? Right in mid-camera position, if you will. Well, let me have your right hand.
Your right hand.
Your right hand. Let's hold it up to this camera. Now, your right hand.
Man, this don't mean nothing. David Sluk allowed.
Well, why'd you throw your slingshot?
You had a slingshot. You had a slingshot.
I don't know. Get the ring with you, for sure. I have something unseen power to whip you.
You will admit that his hands are bigger even than Sonny Liston's were.
That don't mean nothing. This man don't have a chance against me.
Go ahead.
Say it again.
Man, you know it better not do.
One more time.
Well, I tell you what. People are writing me mail from all over the country and the world. They believe you can
win. But I want you to do some writing.
And Bill Russell promises, Bill Russell and a few more players are going to be my sparring partners to get rid of you. And they
I'll give you a couple of my own. I got a few of my own I'll give you.
Put your reach out. Let me see what you got in there.
I got to
show them what you got.
There, that's right there.
That don't mean nothing. I'll turn
very easy. Until you get that pen, though. See,
serious. Well, this match may very well come to pass. This is not real. In the last analysis, it's nice to kid about it, but it's no laughing matter. Now, how could you match his foot speed?
His foot speed?
Well, that's easy.
Well, I don't know.
Two steps and he'll
did
be
he ever knock
the
him out? With
his two steps and he'll be across the ring.
Did he ever knock him out with his feet? Well, did you see him knock one out with his feet?
No.
Kangaroos use
a feet. No, and right Ali Shuffle. Huh? And Ali Shuffle will make you
show me Ali good. Shuffle right now.
That's good for his shoe shine.
That's
good for his shoe shine. That's nice. That's what you're watching. That's nice to do what you're watching. Nice. Watch that when I watch it. I used to shine shoes myself.
I tell you what, let's put all the talking. I have a place. I have somewhere to go, Howard. And let's get the contract signed. As soon as I take care of
you hear him now. He said get the contract signed.
We'll get the contract.
Now he's talking.
My manager, Herbert Muhammad, has, I think he's
okay
this fight.
Please talk to him. Please talk to him. I want you to talk to him.
And after you, I want all the basketball players out there, football players, they want me beat so bad, they want to get everybody. I'll go to Mars. I don't care. I don't care if it was
you 10
feet tall, I whip you.
You're right. I think Hoover said, boy named Tom Hoover said, you might be going to Mars sooner than you think.
You, Tom Hoover, all of you. Me and Bill Russell getting ready for
gentlemen,
you.
Gentlemen, I must
and cut that beard off because I'm not fighting Billy Goats.
I want to give you a target.
I don't want no cushioning.
I don't want you to miss. I don't want you to miss.
Well, thank you for coming by. If you do fight him,
I have
good
one
luck.
Thing to say.
In the meantime, good luck for the title.
I have one thing to say here on TV. I want the doctors to check you. I don't want your age checked. I want your stomach checked. I want your arm checked. I don't want no back trouble or no eye trouble.
Who's going to check you, though, I want to know.
I don't need checking.
You don't need checking.
You just be ready.
All you need is a checker.
Thank you very much. Let me go. You just get ready.
And so the scene is the heavyweight champion of the world leaves the stage.
Get him ready.
Set. Get him ready, he says.
Just get him ready.
And the fight may come to pass. If so, it will be an extraordinary event, I'm sure.
Take it from Wilt Chamberlain, Muhammad Ali, back to Southern California and Larry Merchant. Larry, I don't want to talk about Ali. I want to talk about Wilt Chamberlain. I mean, you were in Philly at the same time he was playing for the Warriors, weren't you?
I saw his first game, his first season, and wrote many columns about him.
What I mean, I remember looking up at him one time at a game and getting to court level just to be able to look up at him. Nobody was 7 foot back then. He was all alone.
Well, many of us thought he was taller than 7 feet or 7 feet one, but that he didn't want to seem to be have too much an advantage over his opponents. Like other big men, he wanted to prove on the court that he had skills as well as size and athletic ability, which is what set him and Bill Russell, who was his great rival, apart. They were big, fast, athletic guys. And, Chamberlain was an extraordinary athlete, but he didn't have the coaching or the team or the self-discipline that Russell did. And so Russell won 11 championships in the NBA and two college championships. And I think Chamberlain was on one championship or two championship teams.
But they sort of went in different directions even after basketball. I mean, Russell became a philosopher of sorts, a civil rights icon, a poet. Will Chamberlain just sort of became a stud that wrote a book.
They were different personalities. Russell was more congenial. Had a great laugh, was the first black athlete in Boston that people adored, and he was tough as a civil rights stand-up guy. And then, of course, along came Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who was their successor. And a great athlete who became, after he left sports, into a real writer and a political commentator and philosopher. So those were extraordinary athletes in their day. But we don't have centers very much in basketball anymore. Everybody is big and fast and athletic.
Interesting, interesting. You know, Ali, Russell, Jabbar, Curt Flood, Russell, Jabbar, Curt Flood, they all got together to support Muhammad Ali, then known by some, although he didn't want it.
And Jim Brown.
Yeah.
And don't forget Jim Brown.
Yeah, and Jim Brown, exactly. You know, I've seen Jim a few times and spent some time with him a few years ago in Oakland, California. He was, you know, the greatest football player maybe ever, the runner. I mean, never got hurt the whole nine yards. He told me about getting up. Every time he got up slow because he never knew if he was hurt or not. Didn't want to let the opposition know. But when I saw him, he looked a little – this is what sort of hurt me about that. He looked a little disheveled. I told you he was wearing like Walmart rubber shoes, and it just didn't make me feel like this was befitting for an icon. Can you sort of see the way I feel about that?
Well, I know. I've covered Jim Brown, who was a very great, dominant football player, and became a civil rights advocate and did many good things in his community. I don't know what his financial situation was. I think the Cleveland Browns continued to keep him on their management roster, and I'm sure he was okay. I don't think he was self-important enough to always look great. I used to play at a public tennis facility where he played. He was a big tennis recreational player and a great force, and he. I don't know who brought together Brown, Russell, and a few others to support Ali when Ali went through his 3 years of
exile,
being banished from boxing because of his refusal to be drafted into the war in Vietnam, which was so unpopular.
You know, Godfather, guys are making trillions of dollars. They're not trillions, but a lot of money playing baseball, millions and millions of dollars. And the guy that sort of opened the path, opened the door for all these people was a guy named Curt Flood. You remember Curt Flood? You tell me a little bit about Curt Flood being the first free agent.
Well, Curt Flood was a very good center fielder for the Cardinals, and he was an interesting person. He used to paint portraits of other players, and was quietly articulate. And when the Cardinals, the Cardinals traded him, I believe, to the Phillies, but I'm not certain about that. And he didn't want to go to Philadelphia or wherever he was traded to. And he challenged what was called the reserve clause system at that time, in which players had literally no say in where and when they could go in baseball. When they signed a contract with a team, they were the property of that team for the rest of their careers, unless that team elected to drop him or trade him. And then wherever he went, they had complete control of him. That was the baseball system for a very long time. And in fact, there was a law passed in Washington that gave baseball an exception to economic rules to be able to do that. And Flood challenged the reserve clause, and I actually attended and wrote quite a few columns about the big trial in New York City, in which eventually led to athletes having more freedom in where they go and what they do and what kind of contracts they can sign.
Wow. I got another email. This one's from St. Louis, a little text here. Who do you think was better, Russell or Chamberlain, or were they different?
Well, they were different, but 13 championships
okay.
in about 15 or 16 years. Are you kidding me?
What about the 100-point game?
Well, Chamberlain was a monster out there. And the problem was he couldn't be controlled in a team system. And he was such a superior force to virtually everybody that coaches couldn't control him. And that the easy thing to do was, if you needed 2 points, get the ball to Wilt, and something good will happen. Except a lot of bad things happened because Wilt was a terrible free throw shooter. So in the crisis moments of games, teams would collapse on Wilt. They would pass him the ball. Wilt would shoot, and if he didn't make the basket, the opponents would either get it or they would foul him and he would miss at least one of the 2 foul shots.
Okay. You said
Russell played in a sophisticated team system, mm-hmm. in which he dominated games in the important moments of games defensively. I saw Wilt Chamberlain in a championship playoff series with Philadelphia, I'm sorry, Russell with Philadelphia, where he would leap out to the edge of the circle to help defend against a jump shooter. He had an absolute, complete understanding of the game in terms of blocking out for his teammates, helping his teammates, starting fast breaks. He was a complete team player, and fortunately for him and the game, he had great coaching.
Interesting. Godfather, we thank you so much for your wisdom, no doubt about it. Say hello to the Godmother, and I shall see you soon, sir.
Likewise, I'm sure.
all the best. The greatest, folks, the Hall of Famer himself, the icon, Larry Merchant on Sports Byline. Holding on.